Wow. First of all, I'd like to thank the band. You know, if I could do anything, I would do what you do. I was just so moved by that. God, you're just fantastic. And I would love to do anything where you can just keep your eyes closed, which is, I mean, I noticed you had your eyes closed during, you know, when you're playing instruments. And I would love to be able to do that so I wouldn't have to look at people. You know, that's a drawback to reading, is that you have to have your eyes open. And Sarah, thank you so much for what you said. I can't tell you, the number of people over the years who have said, oh, your family must be so mad when you write about them, and they're so dysfunctional. But I've never felt them to be dysfunctional. I can't think of a family that functioned better than mine. And I would always try to explain, you're not laughing at them. They're in control of those. They're in control of the laughter. You're laughing with them. You just think, it would bother me that people thought they were laughing at them. You know, when I wanted to say that I've never won anything in my life, and then I remembered last year I won an award with the Paris Review, and there was a little ceremony, and then I got there, and then they said, so do you have your speech prepared, or are you going to wing it? And I said, no one told me about a speech. And the person was up there introducing me, and all of literary New York was in this room, and I had to get up, and I had nothing. And it was like a horrible dream. And different publishing houses bought tables. Joyce Carol Oates was there. Oh, my goodness, Joy Williams was there. Don DeLillo was there. And I got up in front of them, and I said, an old man looks out a rain-streaked window, saying, if this weather keeps up, the roads are going to be a real nightmare. His grandson looks over at him and sneers, tell me something I don't know. And the old man says, okay, your grandmother's ass can take my entire fist. That's what came to me in that moment. So I thought, okay, well, maybe I would try to write something. So when I was first told of this award, that I was the winner, I said, and I'll never forget this, I said, oh, my God. And that's the honest truth, no matter what rumors you might have heard to the contrary. Certain people, ones who have probably never won anything, are whispering that I said, what do I need with another award? And that I showed no interest in it whatsoever, but that's just a lie. I love awards. Any award. It doesn't even matter what it looks like. A plaque, a medallion, a frame certificate. A statuette is good as well, as long as it's tasteful. Some of my awards are trophies, like the one I got for midget golf when I was 6. That was my first one, and I've been racking them up ever since. For sports, for being smart, for leadership, for the arts. By the time I was 12, I had a whole room filled with them. It wasn't huge or anything. Maybe it's not even fair to call it a room, since it didn't have a door. A nook is more like it. A nook of excellence. It's where my baby sister slept, until she choked to death on a ribbon I got for a poem I had written, coincidentally, about how irritating my baby sister was. She swallowed it, the whole thing, and it got lodged in her throat. My parents were devastated. Our lives will never be the same, they cried. At the funeral, my mother tried throwing herself into the grave, but it was just tiny. So all she came away with were 2 bruised knees and some dirt on her forehead. Such drama for a second place ribbon. Let it go, I told her. There'll be more. And of course there were, not the least being my only living child award. Some say it didn't count because I made it with my own two hands, recycled it from a sailing camp trophy, then presented it to myself in a secret ceremony. For 2 years in a row, I did that. Then my brother Caesar was born, and everything changed for the worst. I know what you're thinking. They honest to God named him Caesar? Since when does that go with the last name Mackenzie? Or with your name, Terry Wayne? I know it. If they gave a prize for biggest late-in-life mistake in the world, Caesar would have gotten it, hands down. My parents were almost 40 when he was born. Too old to push a heavy baby carriage up a steep hill, but not too old to push a baby with a lazy eye into being something that he was not, something he would never be, a winner. Most of Caesar's early awards, I'd say 97% of them, were given out of pity. People felt sorry for him, the replacement child, the one who'd never be as cute as his dead sister, and certainly no match for his older brother, me, Terry Wayne, who left for community college 3 years after he was born, or I mean left symbolically. I was still living at home and everything, just to keep an eye on things and to be close to my old high school, home of so many fond memories. The only prizes Caesar actually earned were for eating. I once watched him down 15 corn dogs in a single sitting, and that was outside of competition. The same with pies and donuts. His size made him a natural for football, though all he was good at was blocking and bullying his teammates out of their lunch. By the time he was 12, he stood almost 6 feet tall and had outgrown all of my hand-me-downs. Put him on a king-sized mattress, and there was barely enough room left for the stupid, purebred schnauzer my parents got him, a hyperactive male named Lars. Your reward for teaching us how to love again, my mother called him. Caesar entered Lars in the county dog show, and he came in last, even behind a corgi with two deformed paws and a dachshund in a neck brace. So what did my parents do? Paid God knows how much money to have a silver engraved bowl made with best in show, at least to the Mackenzies, engraved on it. They rewarded non-excellence just to spare my brother's feelings. That, in a nutshell, is the problem with everything now. Last place gets just as much attention as first. A for effort. At least you tried. Everyone's a winner. I, meanwhile, had busted my ass for every ribbon and trophy and plaque I had. Not one of them an engraved silver bowl. The award I got for community service when I was 15, for example, do you have any idea how many grocery bags I carried that Saturday? My arms ached at the end of the afternoon. My mouth hurt from smiling at old people. And did I complain that my certificate was in a plastic frame? No, I did not. Caesar, on the other hand, all he had to do was come in first. All he had to do to come in first was come in last. And watch out if his trophy was plated and not actual silver. Oh, no, we can't have that. I pointed this out and was called a sore loser. Not by the world, but by Caesar and my parents. They liked to say that I had peaked in high school, that it was all downhill after my 17th birthday when I was crowned king of the winter carnival. Where were the awards and prizes after that, they asked. You graduated almost last in your class and have practically done nothing since then except for breathe and to take up space. And paved the way for Caesar, I said. Because it was true. In the 8 years following the winter carnival, I took a rest from excellence. No awards did I win, not for my grades, not for my hobbies, not even for attendance. I was biding my time. I was letting others take center stage for a change. While I admittedly was not the biggest fan of my brother, I didn't want him to have to grow up in my shadow, stunted like a tulip beneath a mighty oak. So it didn't really seem fair when Caesar was awarded a $10,000 cash prize that totally came from my parents and was disguised as the Jonas Tattersall Excellence in Excellence Award. Jonas Tattersall being the name of a handicapped guy my mother went out with for 2 weeks before she and my dad met, a guy she admittedly used to make her look nicer and more open-minded than she actually was. The whole thing was completely fake. I said as much to Caesar. Wake up, I told him. The award ceremony, the banquet. You have excellence. You can't have excellence in excellence without first having excellence. It was shortly afterward that a burglar or burglars broke into my family's house and stabbed Caesar's dog, Lars, to death. Oh, the tears. But he was crying for my loss, for the trophy this person or persons walked off with, the one I got when I was 14, and a lot of people thought I might go professional with my backstroke. Rather, it was poor Caesar. Caesar's lost his best friend. What are we going to do with Caesar, etc.? The police were called, of course, and reported a number of discrepancies. No sign of a break-in. Nothing on any of the outdoor security cameras my mother had installed after someone came in the night and stole a concrete donkey out of our front yard that held great sentimental value to her for reasons, some reasons, I mean a donkey. Because our local police are too dumb to imagine any alternatives to the standard burglar in a black mask sneaks through the window scenario, they blamed me for stabbing Lars. Without any evidence, hardly. They didn't bring charges, but their suspicions alone were reason enough for my parents, who ordered me to move out. I said, and go where? What about my studies? I wasn't going to argue, though. I wasn't going to beg. If I'd had community college friends, I might have stayed with them. But when you've got as many awards and trophies as I do, it's hard to form any steady relationships. People are jealous of you. It's natural. They're intimidated, and that keeps them at arm's length. The fact was that I had nowhere to go. I didn't even have a car to sleep in. Still, I packed up my things, my clothes and such, my medals and trophies and certificates, and moved them into a little fort I built in the woods behind my old high school. I'd been a Boy Scout back in the day, so the whole living outdoors thing came as second nature to me. I was just settling into this new way of life when I got word that my parents' house had burned to the ground and that they, along with my brother, had died of smoke inhalation. I was arrested, charged, and convicted, all on circumstantial evidence, within the space of 6 months. Then I was sentenced to life here at this fine maximum security prison, which has awoken in me a spirit of excellence I hadn't known since I was 17 years old. I started, you may recall, by winning TV privileges for good behavior. Then I won an award for having the cleanest cell on my block and took off like a rocket with prizes in art, dog with knife wounds, earned first place in this year's triple homicide competition, and was, I might add, the first painting I had ever done in my life. It seems I'm a natural-born artist, but never knew it until now. I won a second prize award for an award I made in my pottery workshop that looks like an engraved silver bowl, but is really, you know, clay. And today, I have won this award for writing. It is ironic that all the writing I have done so far is about my family, the very one that made my life so difficult, the very one that persecuted me. And it is sad that they can't be here in person to watch as I receive it. Because those people, I'm telling you, they really took the prize.